welcome back to the Resilience Institute podcast today for episode 21. And we are going to be discussing HIIT classes and companies and why they aren't even actually HIIT and why all of their claims aren't what they make them out to be. And first of all, let me just say, if you enjoy the social aspect of HIIT a few times a week with friends, you enjoy training hard and the mental challenge of it, and then you add on a couple of well-designed strength sessions and walks each week, fucking great. Go for gold. This podcast isn't directly aimed at you, but you should still probably continue to listen for future reference. But the main point is, if you are doing regular HIIT classes thinking they are the holy grail of weight loss and fitness, that they're going to give you a six pack and make you athletic, and you're sick of spending the stupidly high weekly membership costs, then this episode is for you. So high intensity interval training, or HIIT, it's become a bit of a trend, like a buzzword, and companies will sell HIIT programs and HIIT videos, workouts, ebooks, you name it. And their main claim is that HIIT burns more fat, it helps you lose more weight, it helps you get fitter and stronger. But there are not only a few problems with these claims, which will mislead people and it'll make them smash themselves every single morning thinking it's going to lead to a six pack, but then there is also the problem where these classes, they aren't even actual HIIT. They are just 45 to 60 minutes of continuous conditioning, which you can do many other ways to get the same benefits without that increased injury risk and overall increase in fatigue on the body. And people that have come from HIIT, like I get so many clients who message me, and especially when I was doing face-to-face, who would say, yeah, I've got this niggle and that ache and this pain. And they wonder why they get these niggles, and they'll go, yeah, but I train five days a week. I do weights, cardio. And then they proceed to tell me that all of their training is doing these HIIT classes. So without further ado, let's jump in. So first claim, you're doing HIIT. No, you're not. To do true high intensity interval training, you need to be resting like 3 to 4 times as long as the bout of your movement was. So i.e. 1 minute on and then 3 to 4 minutes off. So you'd sprint, row, box, air bike, ski erg, whatever, at 90% plus or so of your heart rate, which is a ludicrous intensity for that amount of time. And then because you trained extremely hard at that extremely high intensity, you physically need 3 to 4 times or more of what you trained to recover and then do another bout. This is true HIIT training. And note that intensity isn't just, in inverted commas, working hard or puffing. It's 85 to 90% of your heart rate max or more for the entire length of the prescribed bout. So that, i.e. that 1 minute on and 4 minutes off. You need to be at 90% of your heart rate max for 1 minute. You don't just climb up to it for 50 seconds and then do 10 seconds. Most people, they're just not actually used to training hard and they're not sure what truly hard training is. So anything that is more than a slight walk, a slight jog, or a run, they count and they think of as high intensity. But true HIIT is extremely high intensity anaerobic training, meaning without air. And you'll see why this is important later on. And the problem is, in these classes, you don't get given adequate rest, which means you can't physically recover well enough to actually push yourself to the max for that entire bout, and you end up just basically doing continuous conditioning and intervals the entire time. And you see it every single time. People start the class all guns blazing at a true high intensity, but they can't keep that intensity up because they don't get enough rest. And then as a result, their intensity and their power drops. They end up doing more of a moderate intensity, continuous training session where their heart rate is elevated above normal for that entire 45 to 60 minutes, but it never peaks and drops like it should with true HIIT. And yes, they may hit a really high heart rate a few times very briefly, but they don't sit there for the entire rep like you're supposed to. The second claim, HIIT burns more fat and leads to weight loss. So next episode, I'm going to do an episode on total daily energy expenditure. But for now, all you need to know, there are 4 ways your body uses and expends energy. Firstly, you have your BMR, your basal metabolic rate. And this is energy burn at literal rest. Like you're doing nothing. If you were to just lay on the couch all day, this is bodily functions like breathing, brain activity, heart pumping, recovery, etc. And this is about 70% of your total daily energy expenditure. You then have NEAT, or non-exercise activity thermogenesis, and this accounts for roughly 15% of your total daily energy expenditure. This is non-exercise activity. So you're walking upstairs, you're bouncing your knee while you're sitting down, you're washing the dishes, you're cleaning the car, general daily activities, going to work, walking around the office, all those kind of things. TEF is the thermic effect of food, and that is energy that your body uses to actually digest and absorb food. And this is about 10%. So you do the maths, we're at about 95%. We then have EAT, or exercise activity thermogenesis. And this is training. This is planned training. So your planned exercise sessions. And this is only roughly 5% of your total daily energy expenditure. 5%. So you can now see why training alone will never actually lead to a calorie deficit. And as I've said 1 billion, million, trillion times, to lose fat, to lose body fat and decrease your body fat percentage, you need to be in a calorie deficit, i.e. your total daily energy expenditure is more than your total daily energy consumption, i.e. eat less food than your body uses, which it will then go to your fat stores, break down those fat stores, and use them as energy to keep you alive and moving. Boom. But then they'll say, yeah, but high intensity burns more fat because it burns more calories. But due to the higher heart rate zone you are training in, when you're doing these classes, you're training in this high heart rate zone. So again, don't mistake this for high intensity interval training, but you are actually using carbohydrates as the main fuel source, not fat. And even if you were burning fat, which you aren't at that intensity, you're burning fatty acids in the bloodstream to fuel muscle contraction. So you're burning fatty acids, which people just correlate with fat. You're not burning and using your subcutaneous fat stores, leading to instant actual fat loss. There's a massive difference. And as I said previously, training only accounts for around 5% of your daily energy expenditure. So it itself will not lead to a calorie deficit. So the third claim, you burn more calories after exercise. Yes, true. EPOC, again, another buzzword that they use in their ads and their marketing to try and get you to come and train. That's excess post-exercise energy consumption. And it also is a genuine thing. It's a measurably increased rate of oxygen intake following strenuous activity. So your respiratory rate increases. And to give you an example, like you run up the stairs and you're puffing even though you're still not running, that's where your body needs to pay back those energy stores by increasing oxygen uptake. So simple terms, your body trained at a high intensity and it couldn't use air or aerobic pathways to create fuel for muscle contraction. So it does it anaerobically without air, and then it repays this oxygen debt later on to refuel anaerobic energy stores. So you sprint, you run up the stairs, you've stopped exercising, but you're still puffing. And you may puff for another minute, 2 minutes, depending on how fit you are. But with EPOC and true EPOC, your respiratory rate can be increased for up to 24 hours. But this contributes to extra calorie expenditure. Yes, true. And it helps to recover and refuel those stores. But the amounts are low and extremely negligible, especially when the vast majority of people will then consume the calories they are burning plus more via food, and then all of a sudden you are in a calorie surplus and you will now put on weight. So yes, EPOC's a thing. Yes, you burn more calories after because your respiratory rate's increased, but it's not a high enough number that will lead to a calorie deficit. It's not a high enough number that it's actually going to lead to any meaningful calorie expenditure. The amounts are low and they're extremely negligible. To summarize, we've gone over the three claims. True HIIT training can be great for athletes in high performance sport and other sport. If you want to get the most out of your fitness and your VO2 max, when done correctly and when programmed into a training plan intelligently. They're very demanding, they're very taxing on the body, and they require a lot of recovery. These classes, they can also be great for social training with friends, as long as you are smart about it and also add in that proper strength and resistance training. Like if you're just doing the HIIT classes, you're not going to have proper muscle strength. You're not going to have proper joint strength, joint resilience, strength, hypertrophy. You need to also get in that strength and resistance training on the side, which most people don't, because they are told and they are made to believe that HIIT is going to lead to all the strength gains and stuff that you need. So you need to keep that in to keep off those niggles, to get strong, resilient joints and muscles. And for the other 90% of people who don't want to do HIIT and they're not athletes and they don't need that crazy VO2, HIIT is a gimmick that is designed to get you paying for a regular membership, usually quite expensive, and whilst making you think you're going to have the body of your dreams, you're going to have a six-pack, you're going to be heaps fit, you're going to be blah, blah, blah. It's not right. It's not what you need to be strong, healthy, fit, happy, all these things. They're trying to get your money. They're withdrawing little bits from research and claims to shoot to you in advertising and marketing, to suck you in and make you think it's an awesome thing, but really it's not. You don't need HIIT training. There are many other great ways to do it that I'll talk about on another time. But for today, another day, another debunk. Until next time.